Praise Jesus. Amen. Okay. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just say thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for seeing us through the year and seeing us to this point. So thank you, Lord, for the word that you have given us and for your spirit and the guidance that you give us through them. And we pray as we read and study your word today that your desires to us become clear and that we can hear your spirit within us. And I pray that you grant me the grace to speak and for all of us to be present before you in body, in mind, and in spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today I'm going to be talking about seeking God's guidance. And we're going to look through some scriptures. The first one we're going to look at is Proverbs 29, verse 18. So get out your Bibles and let us read it together. Give it a second. Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, "Where there is no prophecy, the people cast off restraint, but happy are those who keep the law." So it's very short, very simple. Where there's no prophecy, the people cast off restraint, but happy are those who keep the law. So where there's no prophecy, what does that mean? Prophecy is a word from God. It is a divine guidance. You know, if you are reading it along in your Bible, some versions have it written as vision, as where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. When it says the word vision, it's talking about you receiving like a vision from God. It's talking about divine guidance. So that prophecy is the ongoing process of listening to God and following his instruction. So the next part, where there's no prophecy, the people cast off restraint. So when there is a lack of ongoing listening, people throw off restraint. Now, why is it that when somebody stops listening to God, they will throw off restraint? Like, what is the correlation between listening to God and having restraint on yourself? And what does the proverb mean by this restraint? You know, what are we restraining? Is it like they throw off their handcuffs or maybe they stop their diets? And if you think about it, there are plenty of non-Christians who don't listen to God, but they have plenty of restraint in their lives. They're very disciplined people. So we'll look into this further. And then the last part, it says, "But happy are those who keep the law." Now, the law that the proverb writer is referring to, he was talking about the written word of God. And to him, that's the Torah. That is like the Hebrew Bible. But what we have today is our own Bible. That is our written word. So happy are those who follow the commandments given to us in the Bible. Okay. And obeying them makes us happy. Or does it? Does obeying God's commandments actually make you happy? Or, like the rest of the world, do you find more happiness in casting off restraint? And when God calls you to do something, when God gives you a commandment, do you trade that? Would you rather have your freedom than to obey him? And this is a hard question. It's a large question for us to think about. So we're going to look at the story of the Israelites and the golden calf for some personal reflection. All right. So let's open our Bibles to Exodus 32. Now, we're not going to read the whole thing today, but I encourage you that when you're home, just read the story again. There's a lot of things that the Israelites did, and as you're reading it, you'll be like, wow, I've definitely done that, or wow, I can't believe that they did something so dumb. So let's read that on our own time. Well, we'll start with Exodus 32, verse 1. It says, "When the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. 'Come on,' they said, 'make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt.'" Now, for some context, I'm sure we're all familiar with the story, but I'll rehash some points so that things will make sense later. God has called the people of Israel out of Egypt. He's brought them to Mount Sinai. They are before the mountain, and God starts speaking to them, and he verbally gives them the Ten Commandments. But the people, they are so afraid of his voice. They're like, if we keep listening to it, we're going to die. So they said, "Moses, please go and talk to God for us, and then you come and tell us what he says." And that's what they did. So God has given them verbally the Ten Commandments, you know, have no other gods before me, don't lie, don't steal, don't kill, all of those. And then Moses heads up the mountain to receive more commandments. But here we see that they are already forsaking God's first commandment, have no other gods before me. They begin looking for another god, one that they can see. And this is the first problem, this is the first mistake that they make, is that they don't acknowledge God as God, you know? Moses was the prophet of Israel. He was the prophet in their time. He was the one that spoke to the people on behalf of God, and then he spoke to God on behalf of the people. He was the intercessor. He was the intermediary. But instead of seeing God as their leader, they looked to Moses instead. And once Moses was out of the picture for too long, they wanted something they could see again. And I think it's important for us to note that for them, the God that they were following was very strange. You know, they had been living in Egypt for so long, and all the gods that they had in their time, you know, they're very large, very golden, very visible, very tangible kind of gods. But this God that they're now interacting with, you know, he's on the mountain, he just talks and you're afraid. So it's very strange to them. And they wanted something that was familiar. God says in verse 8, Exodus 32, verse 8, they have been quick to turn aside from the way that I have commanded them. They stop following God and they start asking for different leadership. But the leadership that they are asking for is not God's leadership. So what can we learn from this? The question I'm asking you is, who is God to you? You know? They did not see God as God of their lives. They did not see God as their king, as their Lord. That's who they saw Moses to be. And once Moses was gone for too long, they lost sight of God. Do you come to God for a quick fix? Do you come to church? Maybe you're looking for a job. You're looking for a healing. You're looking for a spouse. And once you find it, you're gone, you know? And when he gives you a commandment, do you take it as a suggestion, like the people of Israel did? You know, he gave them these commandments. I feel like if a lot of us were given the commandments the same way that the Israelites were given them, you know, you hike all the way to this mountain and you get there and all of a sudden, do not steal. You know, it would be a very powerful moment. I doubt it's something any of us would forget. But the Israelites, they're so quick to turn. And I wonder if we're like that too. So when God gives you a commandment, do you take it seriously or do you just take it as a suggestion? And then the third thing we can learn from what they've done here is, what kind of leadership do you follow? The Israelites, they're looking for a leader that they are familiar with, that they can see, that they can understand. They're looking for a person or something physical. And do you follow people because you like the way they preach? Do you follow people because, you know, they say things that are pleasing to you? Do you follow people for their appearance? You know, somebody once told me that you look like what you look at. It was my mom. She's the one that told me that. But we should be careful of how we choose who we follow. We cannot follow people based on just what we see or what we're familiar with. We need to follow God. Okay. Amen? All right. So the story continues. God has told Moses of the people's betrayal. Moses is up on the mountain. And so Moses intercedes on behalf of the people. God changes his mind about destroying them, and he quickly rushes down the mountain to see what is happening. And at the sight of the calf, he's furious. You know, furious, I don't think even fully describes how angry he must have been feeling. He destroys the stone tablet of the law that God just gave him. He burns the calf and grinds it to dust. He scatters it into the water and forces the people to drink it. Now, I'm not a very angry person, but I know that sometimes, you know, when you get angry, you can get a little physically violent. But all the things that Moses did, he came down from the mountain. He hasn't eaten for 40 days. He broke the tablets. He took the golden calf. He burned it to ashes. He ground it to powder. And then he forced the people to drink it. He was so, so angry. I think we should pray that God will help us to have righteous anger towards sin so that it will not exist in our lives. But after all this, it says, Exodus 32:21-24. Finally, he turned to Aaron and he demanded, "What did these people do to you to make you bring such terrible sin upon them?" "Don't get so upset, my lord," Aaron replied. "You yourself know how evil these people are. They said to me, 'Make us gods who will lead us.' We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us from here, from the land of Egypt." So I told them, "Whoever has gold jewelry, take it off." And when they brought it to me, I simply threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. It just happened, you know? Things just happen. And this is the second mistake that we can see that the Israelites are making, in that they stop being accountable both to God and to their leaders and to each other. They stop being accountable. Aaron says, I just threw it into the fire and out came this calf. Forging gold is not a simple process. It doesn't just happen. That was something, that was a deliberate action. And he tries to blame it on the people again. He says, you know these people are evil. You know that I forced my hand to do this. And verse 25 says that Moses saw that Aaron had let the people get completely out of control. Other versions say that they were running wild, much to the amusement of their enemies. It's so sad for me to read this, and I can only imagine how Moses felt. The people were not accountable to each other, and they were not accountable to God. So, what are we to learn here? We are to be accountable to God and to each other. It says that, I wrote here, we often forget that our lives are not just for ourselves. We are saved to lead others to salvation, and that the way we live our lives affects the people around us. Every day, people are evaluating us. They're evaluating the way we speak, where we do our work, and the way we behave around our family. They're reading all of these things. I can only imagine Moses coming down the mountain, and the people are having a crazy party. They have completely forsaken God. And all the nations around them who have been hearing stories about the Israelites, you know, this God that suddenly brought these people out of Egypt powerfully, drowned a bunch of people, and here they are. They're making fools of themselves. And the nations around them are just having a great time. I can only imagine how much his heart would have broken from seeing that. So we too, we need to keep ourselves accountable to God and know that there are people who are watching us. There are people who are evaluating our lives. We have a duty to love our neighbors as ourselves. You know, God has given us these commands and we're not to take them lightly. We need to be accountable to the reality of eternity. You know, I said we need to be accountable to God, we need to be accountable to each other, and we need to be accountable to eternity. Because at the end of our lives, we'll give account for what we have done with it. Amen? Amen. All right. So what have we talked about so far? We've talked about Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no prophecy, the people cast off restraint, but happy are those who keep the law. And I hope that in reading the story of the Israelites, we've seen some of what that looks like, what kind of restraints we're talking about. So, what drives you? That's the third question I'm going to ask you today, is what drives you? What motivates you as a person? Everyone has a calling, and God has called you to do something. Has that become your plan? You know, have you really taken it as a commandment? If the government of Canada should write something into the law code, to the criminal code of Canada, and it specifically addresses you and says, you shall not wake up after 8 a.m. on any given day, would you obey it? Would you follow it to the letter? Because you know that if you don't, it's a criminal record. You know, it would shape the way you live your life. Because that's how serious of a commandment it is. It's written in stone. So why don't we take this seriously with God? Why is it that when God tells us not to lie, we're like, well, there are these things that maybe, like, it's okay to lie about, or it's okay to, you know, maybe I'll just add an extra zero on my tax return. It's fine. I hope none of us are doing that. But why don't we take God's calling seriously? Your calling is 24/7. 365 days of the year. What God has commanded you is not a singular commandment that just occurs today, and once you've done it, it's over. It's every single day, every single moment of every day, even when you're asleep. Some of us do things in our sleep. We are still accountable to God during those times. We need to note the importance of God's guidance in ours and the Israelites' lives. You know, God has given us this great calling. He has given us a destiny. But sometimes we don't take his guidance. We want to do it our way. And when we don't listen to that prophecy, when we don't listen to that divine guidance, That's when we throw off the wrong restraints. That's when we start doing things in a wild manner. God gives us guidance so that we can have restraint in our lives and so we can fulfill our destinies. When we do not seek God's guidance, we remove these restraints that help us live well and we become unfocused, unmotivated, and wild people. So what are the guidances that God has given us? God has given us his Holy Spirit. He communicates to us in multiple ways. In the days of the Israelites, you know, he gave them the prophets. Prophets would receive a word from God. They would bring it to the people. And we live in a time such that God has sent his Spirit to us. And God's Spirit testifies within ourselves. As we read his word, as we experience life, we can feel God's Spirit talking to us. And God still sends people to us today. When God sends somebody to you, how do you react? How do you react? You know, I sometimes wish that God would speak to me the way he spoke to the Israelites on the mountain. Because if you are just sitting down, maybe you're watching TV and God is like, "Favor, you must go and pray for this person," and the whole house is shaking, the entire neighborhood hears it. Of course you will go and do it. But if God now says, somebody shows up at your door, maybe it's one of the members in the church and they're just like, "God has laid something on my heart that you need to pray for someone." Are you going to commit to it? Are you going to take it seriously? Or will you just say that, it's just a person, it's just a suggestion? When we feel that God is talking to us through his Spirit, we need to take it seriously. And then the second guidance that God has given us is his written word. It's the Bible. Proverbs 29:18, it has both of them in there. Where there's no prophecy, where there's no vision, where there's no divine guidance, that is what I'm referring to when I say guidance from the Holy Spirit, the people perish. But happy is he that keeps the commands that are in the Bible, the commands that God has given us through this written word. We are very fortunate to have all of this material that we do, and sometimes we take it for granted. We should look to these two guidances to know how God wants us to live our lives. Okay. And I think one more thing to emphasize from this 29:18 is that it does not give more emphasis to one or the other. We need both the Bible and the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, where there's no spirits, where there's no divine guidance, we cast off restraints unnecessarily. And when we don't keep the law, it makes us sad. So we need them both equally in our lives. Amen? Okay. And now it's time for a personal story, and I hope that this helps it hit home a little harder. So recently I got back from college. Anybody here in college right now, put up your hands, or university? I know you're in the building, please. Anyway. So I got home from school a little early, and I felt like I had landed. You know, you come back from school and all the stresses that are on your shoulder, assignments, they're all gone. And you're like, finally, I'm home. I can rest. I still have one more assignment left, though. And I was so tired. I was so ready to be done with the semester. I was like, it's fine. It's just one assignment. How long will it take? I'll do it. But then I sat down to do the assignment, and it was taking me hours upon hours upon hours. And my mom notices, and she sat me down, and she asked me what I thought was an unrelated question. She said, "Favor, where do you see yourself in 5 years?" And I was like, what does that have to do with anything? So I was like, you know, I gave a generic answer. I gave what I now understand to be an unmotivated answer. I said, I would have graduated. Maybe I'll be working somewhere. I'll be making a little more than minimum wage. I'll be doing something in ministry that's at least this is what I know I'm supposed to be doing. And she looked at me and she said, there's no drive to what you just said. And if you think about it, what I had just said to her, you could have replaced some words in that sentence and it could be anybody's life. You know, there was no defining feature. I realized that in coming back from school that I was ready to cast off all restraint, all discipline in my life, just to relax and say that, I'm done. And I think that sometimes we as children of God, we do the same thing, you know? We forget that there's a big picture, that there's more that we have to accomplish. We have periods in our life of high intensity and low intensity. Maybe it's a busy season at work. Maybe you're trying to raise kids. But during those times, for different reasons, you know, in the high seasons, you're busy. It's very easy to lose sight of God's calling on your life. And in the not so busy times, you know, you're taking life easy. You're enjoying what God has blessed you with. And it's easy to forget God's calling on your life. But in all of this, we need to continue to seek God's guidance. And when we seek for God's guidance, we're not asking for it as a suggestion. We're not asking for it as a recommendation. We're doing it because we know that this is the shaping factor to our life. This is the driving factor to our life. Okay. And then, yeah. This is what God has laid on my heart to share, and I hope some of it has resonated with you. Let's pray. Let's rise up to pray. Let's just begin to thank God for who he is. Let's thank him for he's all-powerful, he's almighty, he's present at all times, he's all constantly surrounding us, constantly with us. Even when we sin, that his eyes are upon us, and he does not behold our sin, but he beholds us, and he has compassion upon us, that he calls us back. Let's thank God. Let's thank God, for he's such a mighty God. Let's thank him. Thank you. To us. Let's thank him for his word, for his spirit, and for the guidance that he gives through them. We have been given so much as a generation. We have been given his word. We have been given his Holy Spirit, and we have no excuse not to know God's desires for us. He is right there before us. Let's thank him. Let's thank him. Thank you, Lord, for that which you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your provision that you meet all of our needs, both physical, mental, and spiritual. We say thank you, Lord, for your guidance. Thank you, Lord, for your guidance. We give you all the glory and adoration. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Let's pray that God would restore our sense of vision and having a plan for our lives. Let's pray that God would open up our eyes to see the big picture so that we would live driven, purposeful lives, not lives that we have cast off all restraint. Let's pray. This is your life that we are praying about. We want to live purposeful, driven lives, lives that glorify God in all that we do. Let us pray that God would give us that drive, that motivation. Let's pray that God will remind us of who he has called us to be. That we are not just people of the world, we not just live our lives as we see fit or as is most optimum, that we live our lives to please God. Let's ask God to just reveal a little bit of that big picture to us so that when we are lost, when we are wondering what are we doing in this season of our life, what are we doing with ourselves in 5 years, that we would have that image in our mind. We would have that thing that we are pushing towards, that image that God has given us, and we would work hard towards it. Let's pray.
That you've given me to pray hard, O Lord, to spend time in your presence, to fast, O Lord, to prepare, to study, to do all of it, and to give you glory in all of it. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Let's ask that God would show us his light. His light would shine upon our lives, and that all of our worries and our desires, the things that motivate us to do other things outside of God's wills, the thing that distracts us, that God's light would shine upon them and would see them in the light of eternity. And that we would not be consumed with the things of this world, but that we would be consumed with doing God's will. Sent to the percussion. For our worries and our desires, Lord, that we would not be consumed by them. We would not follow them. We would not forget who you are and the commands that you have given us. But that, Lord, we would follow you with our entire being, that we would dedicate our lives to you, that we would not be distracted by the worries or the desires of this world, that we would not be distracted by the advertisements, that the things that the world causes us to become concerned with, that they would not become the shaping factors, but that we would shape our lives around you and that our lives be dedicated to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let's pray that our testimony would not be damaged by lack of restraint or by careless living, but that rather people would see God's guidance at work in our life and that they would be drawn to him. Lord, pray that we would live our lives in a manner that draws people to you, that is attractive, that shows people how living for you makes everything so much better, that they would not look at our lives as a bunch of mindless restraints, as us putting on chains that have no meaning or just being ascetic to the point of no sense. But Lord, we would live lives that glorify you, that would show your might, your provision, your grace upon us, and that our lives would be a testimony to you. Our lives would be a testimony to your greatness. Our lives would be a testimony to who you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray that our lives will be given glory to you. Let's pray that as God gives us his guidance, as we read his word and his spirit reveals it to us, that we would have the grace to follow through, that we would obey it to the T, that we wouldn't take God's commandments as suggestions, but that they would be the shaping factors in our lives. Say thank you, Lord, because you give us commands. You give us things to do, O Lord. You call us to things that are greater than us. And we say thank you, Lord, because none of these things are so great that we will be overwhelmed by them. But we pray, Lord, that you grant us the grace to follow, the grace to obey, a small step today and a small step tomorrow. But that, Lord, whatever it is that you call us to, that we'd do it all, that we'd follow it to the T, we would obey you completely, and that we would not be given to distraction, not be given to the ways of the world. Let's pray that even during the busy seasons and the light seasons, that we would not lose sight of who God is and what our calling is, and that we would continue to work in his calling. Continue to guide us. We continue to be at your feet, O Lord, and we continue to listen for your calling. Thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus